Big news. We've got the verdict in the Ahmaud Arbery case. The murder of Ahmaud Arbery. Absolutely a heartbreaking story from start to finish. And you've got three convictions. All three defendants found guilty of murder. And it's a terrible story. It is absolutely heartbreaking because it runs counter to everything that I believe we have as values in this country. And I'm absolutely unmovable on this. You have a right to walk around your neighborhood. You have a right to live your life unimpeded. You have a right to all those things. And you had these guys decide that they were going to go out there and administrate some sort of justice. I'm sorry. If you think somebody's breaking into places, whatever, you call the cops. You don't go and chase them down in a truck and shoot them. And it's really that clear. Like it's incredible to me that it even took this long to find him guilty. And on top of that, and remember, I am Mr. Law and Order. Like, I am 100%. I am not in any way, shape, or form in support of Antifa, looting, criminality. I'm a law and order guy. You have a right to walk around your neighborhood. You have a right to go for a run. You have a right not to talk to people that you don't want to talk to. You have a right not to identify yourself to anybody. Maybe it's a member of law enforcement who wants to talk to you and say, hey, did you see something? Did you do something? What's going on? And in that case, you get to say no. And you say, no, you know what? I want my lawyer and I'll talk to him. I'm not going to talk to you. The last thing in the world we need, and I'm serious, this is a super important thing to understand. The last thing we need in this world is self-deputized administrators of whatever. Think about why you hate the control freaks that have taken over your life for the last 2.5 years. Because they're control freaks. They don't believe in freedom. They don't believe in liberty. They don't believe in the stuff that is foundational in a constitutional republic. You have a right to movement. You have a right to be secure in your home and out of your home. Nobody has the right to walk up to you and kill you. They don't. Well, self-defense. That was not self-defense. Not by a country mile. Until we start to understand that government is not supreme, we are, as free people, we're going to continue to have little mini dictators in the neighborhood, at the school board, at the county building, at the state legislature, and at the White House. That's what we're going to have. And I don't want to live like that. And I know you don't want to live like that. Now, if you do, I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong. Excuse me, who goes there? Who are you? Show me your papers. How mad do you get about the vaccine passports? How mad do you get about the mandates and all that kind of stuff and social credit scores? Well, your neighbor doesn't have a right to do it to you either. That's it. My house, my neighborhood, I get to do what I want as long as it doesn't infringe on your rights. And nobody elected you to be the mayor of the subdivision. Nobody elected you to be the president of the block. That's not what it is. And it's not how it's going to be. And until we tap back into the righteous indignation and outrage that our founding fathers, as besmirched as they have been for the last 2 years, until we tap back into that spirit of freedom and liberty for all, by the way, we're going to continue to have horrible outcomes. You know, it's important to understand as we get into this Thanksgiving weekend. Going to be a lot of people who are going to tell you what it means and why the founders were evil. And you're going to hear 1619 and you're going to hear 1620. And you're going to hear 1630 and you're going to hear all kinds of things like that. At the end of the day, you are born a free person. The natural state of a human soul is freedom as God intended. And if you're an atheist, don't care. God still intended for you to be a free person. You don't have to believe in him. The natural state of a human being, of a human soul, is to be free. The natural yearning is to be free. It is not to be encumbered by self-appointed maniacs either here or in Kabul. We are free people. This is a good nation. And I have sat back and watched for too long and listened for too long to people who want to say this country's not good, that this country was conceived in evil and not worthy of the words in the Constitution or the Declaration. Sorry. Pull the plank out of your eye. We are free. What we do with our liberty is entirely in our control. And I don't care your identity, your race, your color, your orientation, your pronouns. I will defend your right to be free, assuming you are not declaring your freedom at the expense of your fellow citizen and fellow man and woman, pronouns included. I will defend your rights. I will stand up for your rights. I will not cancel you. That is a Marxist notion. I will not detain you because you're walking through a neighborhood. That is an authoritarian construct. Until we recognize the liberty and freedom in each person among us, until that happens, we're going to keep having the same old arguments. And the dictators will lick their chops at the notion that they get to control you. And they have a lot of ways to control you. They can control you by letting criminals run amok in the streets, convince you to defund the cops, convince you to open the borders. They can create a tyranny on a level that you can never, ever fathom. And they can enforce it at the point of not a gun, but a high-tech firm. A social media giant. Watched Inez Kanter this morning eloquently defend liberty and freedom. Talk about the blood on the hands of the NBA for their dirty, disgusting deals with Xi Jinping. 2 years we've suffered with the plague that came out of the Wuhan virology lab. For too long, we've turned against each other. And on this Thanksgiving, I give thanks for the greatest country in the history of humankind. And I stand by her, warts and all. And I challenge the authoritarians to try to take it from us because they will lose. God bless the United States of America. And God bless each and every one of us who are committed to standing in freedom and liberty. That's what I give thanks for this Thanksgiving. News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. So we've got Thanksgiving tomorrow, and I want to invite folks to join the conversation at 704-570-1110. Coach Doherty will join us beginning at 4 o'clock. He's over on FNZ right now. Then he'll come over to us and spend time with us from 4 to 6. And we're going to be taking your calls across the couple hours of the program here that allow you to tell us what you're thankful for here this Thanksgiving. I mean, certainly we'd love to get your thoughts on that. But before that, boy, you knew there was going to be wacko advice when it came to the Thanksgiving dinner. This one comes courtesy of CBS This Morning. And they had a psychologist come on the program, and she gave advice about, well, what are you going to do with those filthy, unvaxxed people that are coming to your home? How do we handle this? What do we do? What's happening? Well, let's give a listen to the advice. This is terrific.
It might be a difficult conversation before people step into your house to say, whoa, wait a minute. Where's your card? What's your status? Yep. Before you walk into my home.
This is tough because people are all over the map on this, and they're also all over the map with their risk tolerance. But the rapid tests have made this a lot easier.
Right.
Because whatever people's vaccination status is, we can actually confirm safety on the spot. So if it feels like it's going to be weird, maybe make it kind of fun. Say we're going to start with hors d'oeuvres in the garage. You know, we'll have drinks. We'll do our rapid test and then come on in, right? You can make it playful, make it fun, and then be able to enjoy the holiday because you're not worried about safety.
All right.
Are you kidding me?
What about stamina? It's a 4-day weekend.
Yep.
You suggest people get on the road on Friday?
Whew. You know, this is hard. I mean, we're out of practice. We're out of practice with being together.
What?
We're out of the practice with being with lots of people.
What? Hold on. Did I hear that right? Did I hear them say, cue them up in the garage and serve them some hors d'oeuvres? And then if they pass muster, if they're uninfected and filthy. They can come into the home. What are you doing if you've driven 3 hours to come to the Thanksgiving dinner? And what happens if you post a false positive? What if you really aren't seriously sick? You don't have the COVID. It's a false positive. It's been known to happen. False pregnancies happen. False positives happen. What if you don't have it? What if you're not suffering from the Fauci? I don't know. That's okay. Stephen, you stay here in the garage. We have a Lazy Susan installed at the door, and we will send you gruel through the door. You and Captain Mittens can sit out there. That's right. The bull mastiff. He'll keep you company. We believe he's impervious to catching the Fauci. And so, Brett, why are you calling it the Fauci? I don't know, because I felt like calling it the Fauci. If you've caught the Fauci, which is probably a false positive anyways, because he's kind of a false guy, you get that thing. So you can sit out here in the garage. What we will do is we will knock three times. We're not going to knock three times on the ceiling if you want me. We're going to knock three times, and then we will spin the Lazy Susan of food. And then what we need you to do is, if you could possibly take your clothing off and burn it in that bucket because you're clearly bringing contamination into our home, we will give you a poncho and some plastic pants made out of shower curtains. And you can just head home that way, or, be on your way now. Oh, and as for leaving Friday, no, my friend, you'll be leaving immediately after dessert. Just feel free to deposit the fake china right there into the garbage can on your way out. We will be burning the contents of that garbage can and that garbage can once you depart. To me, that's just really incredible. All right, line up, everybody. You're getting tested. I wasn't ready for, I didn't study. What do you mean being tested? Oh, no, we're just going to swab you. No, I'm sorry. If I go to a sporting event and I have to be swabbed, at least I get to enjoy the time of the sporting event. Maybe make a couple of bucks, lay an action on the side. But no. I'm not going to be the PCR test guy who's going to strike a false positive and has to sit there and wear the label of shame. I'm just really amazed that we haven't just gone back to the Zoom meals. Just everybody sit there, eat your snack ramen. Put on your speeches by Xi Jinping and you be a good little supporter of the state. To me, that's just really incredible. Here's what I want to do. You test me for the PCR, and then I'm going to test you for drugs. We just test each other. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterble Show. So, there are all sorts of pieces of advice that are out there going around. Have a peaceful Thanksgiving. Like, if you search 9 ways to celebrate a peaceful Thanksgiving at home, you will find list after list after list about how it is that you can have a peaceful Thanksgiving at home. Things like taking advantage of Thanksgiving menu conveniences. Don't forget breakfast and snack ideas to tide you over until the main feast. How to keep kids engaged with Thanksgiving crafts. You don't like the Thanksgiving crafts? You're not you don't want to make your own gingerbread man or your own turkey? No? No? Paper turkey? No? You need to keep the people company that are stranded in the garage because they are unclean. Give them Rubik's cubes and coloring books in between them. Gosh. What do you do with the leftovers? This is actual advice. What do you do with the leftovers? Isn't the answer eat them? What else would you do with them? Lacquer them and turn them into Christmas ornaments? What would you do with the leftovers? What are we doing with leftovers? It's turkey and it's cranberry sauce and it's stuffing. What are we supposed to do with that? Can you not give it to the people who are unclean in the garage that it cannot come into your home? I'm still stunned by that whole idea of, hey, let's start off in the garage. Okay, well, we got something new this year. This is great. We're going to test everybody for the COVID. If you're positive, which is a bad thing, by the way, you are going to eat in the back of the pickup truck. in the backyard. Don't worry, it's got a camper shell. You'll be safe from the inclement weather. If, in fact, you are clean enough to enter our home, we will have one heck of a feast. That's what we're going to do. It really is. This is incredible. Now, here's the thing. I'm supposed to be able to afford the PCR tests, or am I billing their insurance company? Am I supposed to take those tests? Am I supposed to say, hey, okay, let's test you for the COVID. Please give me your Blue Cross and Blue Shield number so I can call, I can go send this thing in. That'll be really great because I'm not paying for your uncleanliness. And I don't really think those people are unclean, but I just, it's sort of that attitude that you're getting from the psychologist that we just played the clip from. In fact, TJ, let's fire that clip back up because people need a little bit more context in this regard. This is, of course, advice for the Thanksgiving holiday.
It might be a difficult conversation before people step into your house to say, whoa, wait a minute, where's your card? What's your status before you walk into my home?
This is tough because people are all over the map on this, and they're also all over the map with their risk tolerance. But the rapid tests have made this a lot easier.
Right.
Because whatever people's vaccination status is, we can actually confirm safety on the spot. So if it feels like it's going to be weird, maybe make it kind of fun.
Say it's going to be weird.
Hors d'oeuvres in the garage. You know, we'll have drinks. We'll do our rapid test and then come on in, right? You can make it playful, make it fun, and then
just stop,
be able
stop.
To enjoy.
Did she say have hors d'oeuvres and snacks and drinks? I'm sorry. I'm just not in the mood for a vodka tonic right now until I know where I stand. Because if you expect that I'm going to get into my vehicle and drive after having hors d'oeuvres and a cocktail, that's irresponsible. You know what? Let's do this. Let's do the COVID test. Let's do a sobriety field test as well. And then, of course, let's find out if anybody's got the flu. Because it is cold and flu season. I mean, let's test for everything. Where were you last night in town, huh? What were you up to? I can't even imagine asking people to do that. Like, No, it's just a joke. Don't worry. We're using the same swab on everybody. We're fine. No, I just don't know how you, like, how do you broach that subject? I mean, I think in the email you have to say you will be tested. You will be tested to enter our home. We have a hermetically sealed room in the back where you can sit and watch us through the polyurethane, like right there. It's just like, it's basically, we've stapled up a whole bunch of dry cleaner bags, like into the ceiling, and you'll be able to watch us. It'll be okay. You're going to be getting basically the same food that we have. Basically. A little less turkey, a little more veggies. You need it. You got to keep your strength up, given what you've brought to our home. You violator. You know what? Why not just do that? Why not just give them like a smock, a positive smock? Stay away from Charlie. He's positive. Everybody else have fun. We're going to socially distance. He's going to Connecticut. We're all staying here in the Carolinas. I miss the days of the easiness of the holiday. And I understand that it's a different world and that people have lost their lives to COVID. I understand all of that. But I also understand. Now, wait a minute. I got to do this. Hold on a second. This guy's testing me here. Tim, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, sir?
I like the direction this is headed. I don't think you should stop. Let's do a pregnancy test while you're there. It could change the whole direction of Thanksgiving.
Well, you know, that's a good point. But you know what? I don't think the pregnancy test would probably be the way to go. I'm thinking DNA tests. You are not the father. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993-WBT. It's the big reveal at 3.
There's your Thanksgiving turkey.
Just before the kickoff.
Yes.
Uncle Steve is dad. Move on, Canada. The
rest of us call him Steve.
He's Steve. Suave. How we doing on the road?
Yes.
News Talk 1110-993-WBT. Check that email off the... good, thanks. Okay, good. News Talk 1110-993-WBT. Did you see President Biden is going to be spending Thanksgiving with the First Lady at a billionaire's mansion in Nantucket? That's right. David Rubenstein, who is the... founder of the Carlyle Group, he's loaning the mansion to Joe Biden there at on Nantucket. And what is so interesting about this is, you know, President and former First Lady Michelle Obama, they have a huge mansion in Martha's Vineyard. But no, not good enough for Joe and Jill. They gotta go to Nantucket. Nantucket is beautiful. Martha's Vineyard is beautiful. It's just not my cup of tea at the end of November. It's like, hey, it's the end of November. Let's go to the beach. Miami? No. Nantucket. Great. People ask all the time, what was it that the original Thanksgiving had on the table? And there's a piece over at the well-respected website, getpocket.com. Getpocket.com. I read it every day. And they note when they look at the first Thanksgiving and the meal that was held, no, I don't know if they tested for COVID. Stop it. The discussion always begins with the bird. Most discussions do begin with the bird. Let me tell you something, good and bad. Turkey was not the centerpiece of the meal as it is today. It's possible the colonists and the Native Americans cooked wild turkey. You can cook wild turkey?
Yeah. Cook with it.
Cook with it, yeah. Maybe. So it's possible that they cooked wild turkey. They suspect that it was goose or duck that was the wild fowl of choice. In the research that this person did, they found that swan and passenger pigeons would also have been available as well. TJ, would you please pass the passenger pigeons? Passenger pigeons, by the way, have been extinct in the wild for over a century now. Thanks a lot, pilgrims. Ate them all, didn't you? Were so thick in the 1620s, you could hear them a quarter hour before you saw them, says people familiar with the time. They say a man could shoot at the birds in flight and bring down 200. Oh, that's a little excessive. But it wasn't until centuries later that they found out passenger pigeons were just not as good as buffalo wings. Small birds were often spit roasted, while large birds were boiled. Boiled bird. I also think some birds, in a lot of recipes you see, were boiled first and then roasted to finish them off. Or things are roasted first and then boiled. So it can go either way. The early roasting gives them nicer flavor, sort of caramelizes them on the outside and makes the broth darker. It's also possible that the birds were stuffed, though probably not with bread. Bread made from maize, not wheat, was likely part of the meal, but exactly how, it's unknown. The pilgrims instead stuffed birds with chunks of onions and herbs, as opposed to, say, peaches and herb, which is also very nice.
Just the two of us.
Well played, TJ. There was a wonderful stuffing for goose in the 17th century that is just shelled chestnuts. So take your chestnuts, shell them, and stuff a bird with it.
Chestnuts.
Since the first Thanksgiving was a three-day celebration, by the way. How funny. It's very much like that now, isn't it? It was a three-day celebration. There's no doubt that whatsoever the birds are roasted one day, the remains of them are thrown in a pot and boiled up to make a broth the next day. That broth was then thickened with grain to make a pottage. In addition to wildfowl and deer, the colonists in Wampanoag probably also ate eels, shellfish, such as lobster, clams, and mussels. They were drying shellfish and smoking other sorts of fish, says Wall. The Wampanoag, like most eastern woodlands people, had a varied and extremely good diet. The forest provided chestnuts, walnuts, and beech nuts. They grew flint corn, which some people refer to as Indian corn. That was their staple. They also grew beans, which they used from when they were small and green until when they were mature. They also had different sorts of pumpkins and squashes as well. As we are taught in schools, the Native Americans showed the colonists how to plant native crops. The English colonists plant gardens in March of 1620 and 1621. We don't know exactly what's in those gardens, but later sources talk about such things as turnips, carrots, onions, garlic, and pumpkins. Thus, the pumpkin pie. No mention of yams. No mention of sweet potatoes. No mention of stuffing. Of course, to some extent, the exercise of reimagining the spread of food at the 1621 celebration becomes a process of elimination. You look at what English celebrations in England are at this time. What are the things that are on the table? You see lots of pies. That's in the first course. And in the second course, meat and fish pies. To cook a turkey in a pie was not terribly uncommon, but it is like, no, the pastry isn't there. The colonists did not have butter and wheat flour to make crusts for pies and tarts. So they had to go to another town to find the tarts. That is a blank that's in the table. So this is kind of like a good idea of what it was that they had there on the table. Meat without potatoes, white potatoes originating in South America, sweet potatoes from the Caribbean, have yet to infiltrate North America. Also, there would have been no cranberry sauce. It would be another 50 years before an Englishman wrote about boiling cranberries and sugar into a sauce to eat with meat. I think I want to be in the garage. I don't think I want to be at this table. Turnips and boiled roasted birds filled with chestnuts and swans. Kind of feels like a Beatles video. 704-570-1110. Coach Doherty's going to come by next. He's going to jump in with us. We're going to break down a whole bunch of other stuff. We've got a lot of stories to go over, and certainly your phone calls welcome as I solicit from you what it is you're most thankful for coming up into this Thanksgiving holiday. I'm Brett Winterbull, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. I am Brett Winterbull. Oh, looky here. What the Thanksgiving turkey brought us. The man, the myth, the legend, one of my favorite people in the whole world. How's that for? Did I do that one right?
Was that for me or Jim?
That was for you.
Okay.
Coach Matt Doherty.
Good to be
in
here.
The
good
house.
To meet your son.
Yeah, Luke
cool
is hanging out with us today. Now we outed him. Now people know where he is.
Oh.
That's
oh.
all good, though.
Did I?
No.
I wasn't supposed to do that?
No. You totally can.
Oh.
I wouldn't have said it because it's just me and him. But then when you come in, you go, nice to meet Luke. Now it's cool. That works.
Okay.
I've already met him.
You met him?
I met him a number of times.
No way.
A number of times. So you got the coach here. Rebound from pain to passion. And, of course, the podcast. And so great to have you here, Coach. I know this is one of those weird days, right, where things get a little loosey-goosey on the topicality out there. But we're going to entertain folks and inform them at the same time. Already we got Jim in the queue, man.
Jim is in the queue talking about dietary suggestions. This is going to be bad.
You got a bad feeling about this?
This might kill the show.
Oh, you get the funeral dirge ready?
It might be a show killer from the Jump Street.
So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let you. Do we take him now or do we get into this a little bit first? What do you want to do?
We can. I mean, your average time of putting Jim on hold is 1 hour and 37 minutes.
That's right. This would be a personal record for
him. This would be a personal record. I don't know if he's worthy of it. But let's do it. Let's bring him on.
Let's do it. Jim, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, Jim?
Wow, what a coach, man. A man of stats all the way. He knew my average wait time. That's why you are the coach, not just a coach.
Thank you, Jim.
Look at this.
You WBT, we're together again, the three amigos. And you know what WBT stands for when you put it up to the mirror?
Uh-oh, get
the
ready.
The big whoop.
The big whoop?
Oh, because it's the backwards. Big whoop. The big whoop.
I love it.
It's an homage to your dad. I wanted to get that in before we get any further into it.
That was one of my dad's big favorite sayings, big whoop.
Big whoop.
I remember.
You're unbelievable. Remember. You're like Rain Man. You should go to Vegas. Let's go to Vegas. Play cards.
Like you. I remember stats too, but not any that are good for any kind of sports activities. Music. I'm good about bands, but I got it wrong the other day about this song. They're coming to take me away. You know.
Yes.
The song that Terry wants to play for Joe Biden when.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes, I do. It was yesterday.
Yes, it was Napoleon. That's the name of the artist.
I said that.
Right?
Napoleon the 14th.
We used to play that thing over and over at our friend's house. We go to our friend's house, and they could not stop playing that thing on the Sears and Roebuck hi-fi console.
Sears and Roebuck?
What year was that?
Well, Sears and Roebuck was.
I know. I'm just, go ahead.
1875.
I asked you a simple question, Jim. Where were you on the night of the 16th, Jim?
1962.
Wow.
No way.
Chubby Checkers, yeah.
How old are you, Jim?
And the Ink Spot. Remember that song?
Jim, how old are you?
Guess what, Coach? I'm glad you asked. You know why?
Why?
Because today happens to be my 64th birthday.
No way!
Oh.
Yes, sir. Look at you. You dial right in on the stamp again.
Look at this guy.
How about that? 64. Now, you said you were listening to this music in 1962, so the math doesn't add up.
Yes, because I was born in 1958.
Right.
I had older brothers.
And so you were four, and you're jamming to some rock and roll? Five?
That's right. We're doing the twist. Right? We're playing the twist over and over. My parents loved the Chubby Checkers record, and then we loved the Ink Spot, The Lion Sleeps the Night. And then when I was five, the Beatles came along.
Oh, wow.
And that changed everything.
And now you're 64.
Now you're 64. And you haven't even come up, like Jim, you've talked for now a long time and not really given us a whole lot of content.
Yeah, we're
what are the dietary suggestions for Thanksgiving?
Well, he was just talking about the pigeons.
Yes, pigeons, passenger pigeons.
That they eat pigeons
who's they?
That they have
the pilgrims.
The pilgrims. Pilgrim
pets. Swans and pigeons.
Swans, they ate
chestnuts.
Swans.
Stuffed chestnuts down in them.
You know what? You know what we should do? They should do this year.
We're getting very close.
You eat the bioengineered turkey, so you make all the lefties happy. All the plant-based turkey patty.
Like tofurkey?
Serve that.
Like tofurkey?
Yeah.
Like tofu turkey? Yeah.
Jim,
this is terrible.
I hate to say this, Jim. I'm gonna tell you here. Like, you know, you and I have bonded over the last year or so.
It was a lot of buildup.
But I gave you a prime slot.
Look at this.
In the show, in the first segment.
You started him.
And I started you. And you messed the bed.
Whoa.
And Jim, so I think your average wait time in the future will be back to that 1 hour and 37 minutes.
And you know what I have to do then?
What's that?
I have to earn the respect of the coach again.
That's right. You got to dive on loose balls. You got to hustle. You got to keep it concise. You got to add value.
That's right. You can't just expect to have that given to you.
This is WBT.
There's RTCP.
Call letters. Not many three-letter call.
Right. That's exactly
call
right.
Stations in the country. This is prime air.
What are we?
That's right.
What are we thinking here, Coach?
Absolutely.
25.
Have that A game.
25 free throws in a row. 25 free throws in a row.
Yeah, if he doesn't make 25 in a row, he's got to stall it over again. He can't go home. He can't go home until the 20.
I want to tell you what's great about you, Coach. What your particular character about
sucking
you?
Sucking up to you.
You didn't wait around for anybody to give you the keys or the tools for success. You knew where they were. This is what sets you apart from
butter.
From a lot of people in life is that you saw your opportunity, your future, when you squirmed through that chain link fence at the playground, the schoolyard, at your neighborhood. You knew that's where the tools for everything you needed in life were. And that's what more people in life have to learn.
Wow.
That's why they should read your book. That's what kids in life need. Now, instead of sitting around the table waiting for their parents to fill them up and give them the tools they need, they need to learn to go and find it for themselves.
That's inspiring,
that's
Jim.
That sets you apart, your character apart from anybody else. And I want everybody to know that. That's why he is the coach and not just a coach.
Thank you, Jim. You're a character, too. I appreciate it.
There, is that better?
Better, but you're still on the bench.
That's it. Happy Thanksgiving, Jim. Be good.
Yes, you too. You too. You have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you for the blessing.
Right on. You could have tried that with Coach Smith. Butter him up.
No, that wouldn't work.
I don't think so.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Crash and burn.
Oh, no. Coach Smith. No, no. Oh, no. He is one of the smartest men ever. He could read through you.
Right through it. Yeah, there you go. All right, plenty more straight ahead. He's the coach. I'm Brett Winterble. This is The Boomer. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Brett Winterble and the coach, Matt Doherty. A little Guns N' Roses for a getaway Wednesday for Thanksgiving. Coach, it's great to have you here. I know we had a very spirited and fun conversation with Jim, but I want to get your thoughts on this leadership quote here that I think is very interesting. David Portnoy, who you know is the head of Barstool Sports, his Twitter handle is Stool Presidente. He says, "I love when employees complain their jobs are too stressful, and then they work too hard and talk S about the entrepreneur who worked their butt off to build the company and now want to work one-tenth as hard as founder who built company on their own blood, sweat, and tears with zero pay." I think he's got a good point there.
You got a great point. You got a great point. I was talking yesterday and today. People don't know. They can't relate to the entrepreneur. They can't relate to the business owner who's got his house mortgaged to pay their salaries.
Right.
To keep that thing afloat, especially through the stressful times of COVID. I have a client, started his business, opened up, COVID hits.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know, he had loans out.
Yep.
To significant loans.
Mm-hmm.
The company goes belly up. He's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he has a record month, there's no attaboys. There's no pats on the back because it's not in the papers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're walking like Cam Newton for his first home game against Washington and people give him a standing ovation. This business owner walks in and people, he may say, "Hey, we've had a record month." But it's not like, hey, patting him on the back celebration.
Right.
That's why I think it's so important that business owners, founders celebrate the small stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to be celebrated. They've got to have encouragers. We all need encouragers in our lives.
Right.
And the business owner, which makes up most of our economy, I'd have to look up the numbers, but let's say 85% of our economy is the small business owner, probably 100 million below in revenue.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be applauded because they're the ones that have put their neck out and risked everything. And the person who's riding his or her coattails need to appreciate that.
That's right. It's incredible because people will say, he's got it so easy, so lucky. Look what he got to do. Look what she got to do. The reality is they don't see those 3 a.m. tossing and turnings worrying about the note. They don't see somebody just took our proprietary stuff and they're copying it and selling it cheaper or doing something like that. And I give Dave Portnoy he's obviously a scratch and dent guy. He's got failings like everybody else. The thing that I have a great deal of respect for is something you talked about with him, and that was when those businesses, those mom and pop restaurants, those pizza places were on the brink of death, he went in and saved these guys.
Saved them.
When the government wouldn't give him money, he was...
Borelli's in East Meadow, the local establishment. I'm getting goosebumps talking about Portnoy. It was really cool because he had joy in giving money to these people.
Mm-hmm.
And when he announced it and did it on FaceTime and you'd see the reactions,
yep,
it was so cool. People think because you own a restaurant, you're rich.
That's right. That's right.
You're not rich. And oh, by the way, you're working your butt off like... every day of the week from maybe 10 to midnight,
mm-hmm,
every day. And you risk employees stealing cash from you,
yep,
the place going on fire,
yep,
somebody writing a bad review because mm-hmm they didn't like the pizza didn't come out on time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really hard business. Business is hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's a contact sport,
yep,
but restaurant business is brutal.
And most times, you're getting paid last.
that's 100%.
That's it. Everybody else gets paid, plus the vendors. I mean, that's it. Hey, let's grab Tommy here real quick, because he's going to check in on this. Hey, Tommy, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. I wanted to speak on what you're talking about. I've been with my boss for 24 years now, and I was just a kid when I started, working there. And I watched my boss work his butt off till 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. He's sweating on the manufacturing line, doing everything that everybody else does. And now, we don't see him as much in the plant, but, he's put in his time. He's really worked and earned his golf trips and his vacation trips, more so than these kids that come in and work a few hours a day and think they've done something, and they don't realize the effort that he's put in to build that business so they can have a job. You guys are so absolutely right on that. And so this Thanksgiving, I am really thankful that I've had a boss that has gave me a job and able to support my family.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah. No, and the appreciation, you know, a boss shouldn't have to be showy like, okay, I'm going to show up and I'm going to sweep the floor. You know, he needs to do that from time to time, especially early on.
Hey, my boss done that.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know he's still on. Yeah, gotcha, Tom. No. He did do that, but then you talked about him stepping away, but there still needs to be an appreciation for where that's coming from. And that starts in the interview process when you're bringing people on. Are you interviewing for your core values? Mm-hmm. I've become more and more passionate about core values because a lot of people, a lot of organizations don't have them, or if they have them, they don't work them. Mm-hmm. And they're just a sign on the wall. Mm-hmm. But what are your core values? Do you recruit to it? Do you train to it? Do you fire to it? Mm-hmm. And then what are the behaviors that sprout from your core values? Now, the behaviors are the things that you can operationalize. We had a great speaker named David Friedman with Vistage talk about that. You know, core values like respect. Yeah, respect, I get it, but define that. Like, it's got to be more granular than respect, mm-hmm. because respect to me can be different than respect to you. Mm-hmm. And so respect for the leader is, well, you show up early, you know, you get your job done.
Yep.
You pick up the trash, mm-hmm. leave a room nicer than you found it.
That's right.
You know, and you talk, like, I'm developing core values with some of my clients, and we're talking about things, and they're like, well, everything's pretty good. I'm like, okay, what really pisses you off at work? Mm-hmm. What do your employees do that really kind of make you mad? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you hear, well, they don't put the ketchup away. Well, they don't put a new roll of toilet paper on in the, you know, in the bathroom. Okay, let's create behaviors. And this guy, David Friedman, studied Ritz-Carlton. And if you go into a Ritz-Carlton, just go in there sometime, just even if you're not staying there, pull in, go up to the general manager and say, I got a question. What's the behavior of the day? They will know, and they'll put a smile on their face, and they'll tell you something like, walk the guest to the bathroom.
Wow.
Because everywhere at Ritz-Carlton, in every property throughout the world, on every shift, they have a behavior of the day that they huddle up and say, okay, today's behavior of the day is number two, walk the guest to the bathroom when they ask, you know, or walk the guest to wherever they ask.
Right.
So it's not like saying, hey, Brett, go down, make a right, and when you see the grandfather clock, make a left,
then
it's two doors down.
That's right.
No. Here, come here, Mr. Winnable. Let me take you to, you know, the restaurant. Let me take you to the bathroom.
Sure.
And that's culture.
Yep.
Because then it becomes a habit.
That's right.
And you can operationalize the behaviors, can't operationalize the values. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So it's really fascinating. It's simple but hard. And as David Friedman was talking about this to our group, and I read his book, Culture by Design, I kept thinking about Coach Smith.
Yeah.
Dean Smith was the master at developing culture. His culture, his core values were play hard, play smart, play together. And then the behaviors he would talk about at the start of each practice, one would be hit the first open man. Well, that fed into play together.
Yep.
And in practice, if you hit the first open man you saw, he would applaud it. If you didn't, he'd blow the whistle and say, Matthew, why didn't you saw Brett open the top of the key. How come you didn't pass him the ball? And I'm thinking to myself, well, Brett has no game.
That's
right. I don't know why you recruited him here.
Zilch.
And that's why I didn't pass him the ball.
Great stuff, Coach. Great lessons. We're going to continue the conversation. News Talk 1110 99.3 WVT. Brett Winnable and the coach, Matt Doherty. Wow, what a week we've seen so far. It is only Wednesday as we get ready for Thanksgiving. I wish you, each and every one of you, a happy Thanksgiving early. And if you want to call and share with us what it is you're thankful for, we'd love to hear from you at 704-570-1110. But my gosh, this time of the year is so special, Coach. It's just an incredible time to be here. Sadly, we've had to deal with this coronavirus stuff for the last couple of years. And you want that little slice of normalcy. And we go to Waukesha, Wisconsin, to a horrible incident taking place this weekend with a massacre occurring there on the streets of Waukesha as the holiday parade, the Christmas parade was getting underway. People, a range of ages from very, very small children all the way up to 82-year-olds, losing their lives, being severely injured because of a maniac who engaged in a rampage driving into that crowd. Coach, this is a terrible reality we are now facing because it does feel like the inmates are running the asylum. It does feel like we have bent over more than backwards to accommodate people who don't want to be in polite society. And we have got cash bail and low cash bail and no bail, and you walk free. And we've got people who have lost their lives because of these progressive policies.
I'm not one that likes to say I told you so or look at it now or, the people that during the fall when the election was going on and they're talking about defunding the police and and letting criminals out, especially nonviolent crimes. I've had clients who have dealt with nonviolent crime criminals being able to walk or not be put to justice in the court system because the courts were backed up.
Right.
So they say, well, nonviolent crimes, we just want to deal with the violent crimes. So then you have some of the violent crimes, like the person in
Waukesha.
Waukesha. I have a hard time pronouncing that. Waukesha. Walking, and he's had a rap sheet. And the things that he's done, and he's out on the streets, and then he does this. Like, what do we, like, I don't want anybody to go to jail. I don't want anybody to be in jail that doesn't deserve to be in jail. I want all for, you know, reform and mental health and helping people. But I'm also, and I said this in the fall, that what I stand for is law and order. We need law and order in our country to have... It's called civilization.
That's right.
And, you know, you say, oh, yeah, we need to let people in our borders. We need to let people out of jail. We need to defund the police. How's that working for you?
Yeah. Yep. It's insane when we look at this sort of situation. You've watched this looting that takes place in San Francisco.
Oh, you can't call it looting.
Absolutely right. It's now called organized robberies. Organized robberies because people were offended by the use of the term looting.
And why was that?
Because they're saying it's a misrepresentation. Let me give you the story. This is out of the New York Post, one of the great newspapers in America today.
One of the New York papers I did not deliver as a kid, by the way.
That's good to know.
Just, you know, FYI.
Police and law enforcement experts in California are arguing that the term looting shouldn't be used to describe recent large-scale thefts in California because looting has racial connotations. Despite dozens of stores and businesses across California being ransacked over the weekend in a brazen crime spree, some authorities are more concerned over language, insisting it should be described as organized robberies instead.
They're not. Listen, I grew up in 1977. There was a blackout in New York. I was working with my dad. We were going into the city to deliver soda, and we didn't go in because of a blackout. There was looting. Looting is not organized crime. It's not organized. It starts with one person, two people. You know, let's back up our car, put a chain on this on this grate on this fence that's in front of the store that you slide down to keep the liquor store safe or the clothing store, and we pull it off, and then people run in. It's not like you huddle up and say, hey, guys, I got a plan. Let's go to, you know, do this, and we'll go. No, it just happens. It's not freaking organized. I don't know what to call it. You know, if looting offends somebody, I'm sorry. But if you're more concerned about the way it sounds, you got a problem.
That's right. That's right. It's and this is, I do believe these are These are coordinated and planned robberies, because we had Pollock on with me a couple of days ago from Breitbart, who said that they're actually using social media platforms to coordinate the strikes.
Okay.
Everybody meet up at 8:30 at the corner of 5th and Main. We're going to hit that Nordstrom's.
Okay.
Boom, and they go in.
Then that's organized.
Yep.
Okay. Then forgive me.
But it is stealing.
But looting has been around for a long time.
Of course.
And you look at the definition, and it says goods, especially private property, taken from an enemy in war.
Right.
So where's the racial connotation there?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll use a word. Ready? Sacking. Like the way they used to sack a city after they would conquer a country.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to sack. So we should just call it sacking. How about sacking? Sacking is kind of a good... Now, many people are going to think that that means that you tackled the quarterback, but, you know, you're sacking a location. You're sacking a city. Oh, by the way, while we're at it, do you know who just bought a $25 million mansion in Jupiter, Florida? When I tell you, your head's going to explode, and I'm going to go to Boomer. Are you ready for this?
I don't want my head to explode.
Jupiter, Florida, $25 million oceanfront mansion.
Well, I know Jordan's down there. Tiger Woods is down there.
Nancy Pelosi. It's tricky, Coach.
It's very tricky.
It's very tricky. All right, here's the thing. This mansion purchase by Nancy Pelosi for $25 million in Jupiter, Florida is in dispute. There are people who say it is fake news. There are people who say it is true. There are other people who are saying she bought it for her daughter. We can't really determine.
She bought it for her daughter.
Well, there we go. You know, she's got a daughter, and maybe she's moving there. Here's the thing. I'm really torn in this regard, because I feel like we ought to just push it nevertheless, even though it's not true, because of what they said about Kyle Rittenhouse being a white supremacist for 2 years. And nearly getting the dude killed, and you know, I mean, it's
that's tragic.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a bigger person than the lying, thieving leftist media, and I'm going to say it's not proven.
Right.
We don't have proof that she's bought a mansion in Florida. I wouldn't be surprised if she did do it, but I'm not going to ascribe it as a locked in fact. But I am so tempted to just push it nevertheless, because the President of the United States defamed Kyle Rittenhouse without a scintilla of evidence that he was a white supremacist.
When you watched Rittenhouse, first of all, and you see the videos, thank God for videotape. Thank God for phones, iPhones, because, you know, you see him getting kicked in the head. And people would say, well, what was he doing there with an assault rifle?
Mm-hmm.
But you have a right to defend your property. And you know, I don't know the laws, okay? But this guy's car dealership got burned to the ground the night before. He's got two more properties. And Rittenhouse and his buddy were going to protect it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a car dealership, yep. One of them was burned, and they wanted to save the other one.
I think there were three total.
Three total.
And then he's getting kicked in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he shot one guy, he went to the police to turn himself in.
Yep.
He tried, you know, you could say, okay, hey, there's bad things happening down there. Just stay home.
Sure.
But then the city burns to the ground. The cops, where are the police in this city? How come the National Guard wasn't called in?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Things were out of freaking control.
That's right. And that's the problem. Because when you start talking about defunding the police, when you talk about that sort of stuff, what you're really doing is you're preventing the police from doing the job that they are paid to do, which is to secure property and lives,
right,
to protect. And when you say, well, nah, you know what, we don't have to do it, it doesn't matter, it's optional. People like Rashida Tlaib and the squad and those folks, they have security.
Oh, yeah.
They have security, okay? And the fact of the matter is, they don't care about people who are really in that danger zone, in that spot where they may get hurt or killed. It's really a very incredible thing to kind of take into account. Oh, see, I just got a message from somebody who said, Brett, why don't you tell the full story about Nancy Pelosi? She can't buy a mansion in Jupiter, Florida, because the sea levels are going to be rising because of the climate change. So why would she buy a mansion, an oceanfront mansion, for $25 million? It's going to get wiped out with the climate change. That's a pretty good observation.
Plus, the Dove bars would melt awfully quickly. You could put them in Jupiter.
Oh, man. There's hot and there's Florida hot.
Yeah, oh. Yeah.
And the thing is, that applies on a lot of different spectrums. Mm-hmm.
What you talking about, Willis?
I'm just telling you. There's hot and then there's Florida hot. I mean, I'm telling you.
Where's the hottest place you've been in this country?
Oh, without a doubt. Vegas in August. Driving from Vegas to L.A. in August at about 4:30 in the afternoon. Oh, it ate my car battery. In fact, it ate our car battery, right, Luke? We were in the car. It ate our car battery going to Vegas. We pulled into the, Luke fancies himself he likes craps. He's very good at it. And so he, I'm kidding. I'm joking. No.
I'm sorry, no, Luke.
Dime, he likes to play dimes. Dime slots. I mean, champion. Anyway, we put a mustache on him. I tell him he's in town from Belgium.
Yeah.
Doesn't speak the language.
Right.
Don't even ask him.
Right.
I'm vouching. Anyways, we pull into the, he's like, I'm going to kill you. We pull in, right? We pull into the parking garage. The battery's dead. We called AAA. They came in. There were like 15 cars getting batteries dropped in and out. Boom, 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 boom. Because it's so hot. So right. That's the hottest I've ever been. So I think it was like 120.
How hot was it?
Like 126, something like that. It was.
Where you kind of, so hot, how hot was it?
How hot was it?
It's so hot that you could.
Grown men were running up to people begging for air conditioning.
That's not a good one. I think you could be better. I'll ask again. It was so hot.
How hot was it?
You're better than that. You did stand-up comedy. Is it because your son's here?
No,
because your son's here.
Because
you're
all the
choking in front of your son.
No, wrong. All the punchlines are not radio-friendly.
It's so hot. You could,
how hot is
you
it?
You could boil. You cook an egg, fry an egg on the hood of your car. That's how hot it was. I mean, how hard was that?
That's terrible. That's like not even funny.
But that's what...
You're going to have to get your car Simonized. You do that.
Simon who?
Simonized.
What position did he play?
Tuck and roll, right there in the back of the car. You just put the tuck and roll with the...
So hot.
How hot was it?
It's so hot that...
The devil was crying.
The devil. There you go. Now, that's better. That's better. I knew you could do better.
I once said to somebody that I was working with, a very high-profile person, not Rush, but another high-profile talk show host.
Me?
No. He had to go to Palm Springs, like, at the end, middle of August. He had to drive out to Palm Springs. And I said to him on his way out the door, I said, you know what? It could be worse, right? I said, it's a dry heat.
Yeah, it's a dry heat.
And he said, so is it where they do the cremation of bodies at the funeral home.
Yeah. No, I say that all the time.
And that is terrible. People,
people would say it's in Vegas, it's dry heat. And I said, yeah, so is my oven.
How hot is it? It's so hot.
That I'd rather have a blow dryer in my face on high.
Or a third hour of the Brett Winterble Show. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterble Show. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. So happy to be here with the coach, Matt Doherty. We've covered so many topics today, coach.
We have. It's good to be here with you, and it's really cool to meet your son.
Now, he's having a great time. He's learning a lot. He's watching.
He's doing a good job of ignoring us.
He's watching. Well, he's monitoring. What he does, he monitors this show. And then he also monitors other shows to see if they're talking about us. It happens a lot more often.
Luke's
than
a good
think.
Name. I was a candidate for my son's name. We went with Walter Tucker. We call him Tucker. But Luke is one of my favorite names. Good, strong name.
Luke is a good name. Luke is it's an effective name. When we use it, he does come when we call him.
Does he?
Yeah, because, you know, if I call him Pete or Steve, he doesn't come.
He doesn't?
But if I say, hey, Luke, come here.
He comes?
Right away.
Does he bring the paper?
No. Nobody gets the paper.
There's no paper anymore. I get the Mooresville Tribune is like one of those that show up.
Yeah. You still read the TV Guide?
It's TV Guide. Wow. Reader's Digest?
Negative. I mean, you can't. I mean, what are you doing here? It's just, everything's on the phone now.
It's on the phone.
I got the TV Guide on the phone.
It's on the arm. It's on the phone.
I got the TV. I don't have to have an aerial anymore.
Aerial?
You know, I got the aerial.
That's the show?
So,
rabbit ears?
What are you most thankful for on this Thanksgiving?
Okay. I could say, you know, like the canned answer, like my family and health, and that's...
I don't think that's canned, but...
Okay. But, I mean, you know, yes, I am, okay? Yeah, but, like, I'm really thankful for the opportunity I have to work with my team at Vistage and the other clients I have, the opportunity to do fulfilling work. Mm-hmm. With really cool people, and hopefully help them. But in the process, I get to learn a lot, and I'm blessed. You know, for a while, I was really floundering. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. What's my calling? Where's my place in life? Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have that fulfillment and that purpose, and you know that so for Vistage and the executive coaching, I'm very grateful.
For somebody with so much experience on a team, you know, you obviously competed a lot on teams. Mm-hmm. Is it hard to make that leap from team to entrepreneur? Like, did you find yourself feeling like, I like to have a system around me kind of on a regular basis, on a daily basis, versus being out there on your own?
Well, it's a good question. I started doing executive coaching under the John Maxwell group, but I was more of a lone wolf.
Yeah.
And I kind of had to put things in place by myself. One of the things that attracted me to Vistage was they had infrastructure in place. Mm-hmm. They had the back office, the billing, they had content, they had a roster of speakers that you can pick, and they had continuous training, and it wasn't an upsell. And so I really enjoyed that because I valued the structure so I could focus on what I enjoyed doing. And I think that's a big part of leadership, is that you can't be good at everything. I do the DISC assessment a lot, which is a personality assessment, and, you know, there's four categories, and, you know, the D is the driver, the I is the influencer, the S is the steady, the C is the kind of the compliant, and we're all a mix of something.
Right.
And we can all dip into the other categories, but there's one leading quality, and that's where you get your energy from.
Right.
Now, you can go into the other quadrant, but that could be stressful, and it could wear you out. And I think, what gives you energy? And for me, you know, I like to lead. I like to organize. But the compliance stuff, the billing, the budget stuff, I never liked that.
Yeah,
I thought about being an accountant when I first got to college. You know, when I was studying business, and I'm like, I took, you know, the first accounting class. I said, I'm out. I'm out. No, I like the selling. You know, I like the strategic planning, but I didn't like, you know, now I could do it, but I'd be forcing myself to do it, and so that's an energy suck for me, you know. And so what gives you energy? And that's where you have to find your team. So if you're going to partner with somebody, all right, I like to do A and B. What do you like to do?
Right.
I can do C and D. Okay, cool. You know, because it's like, it's you know, and let's talk about basketball terms. I need a point guard. I need a shooting guard. I need a wingman. I need a power forward. And I need a center.
Right.
If I have a team of centers, they could be great players, but we're not going to be successful.
Right. I know that's a hugely important component of it. But then I also know, so when you're trying to get this thing done, how are you taming like your inner critic and stuff, right? That's trying to tell you, well, your mind that's going, hey, you can't do this. You know what you're doing. This is just, how do you balance that out?
We call that imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. And that's the cool thing is that Vistage has been around for almost 60 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you help. CEOs, business owners need confidence.
Yep.
They need the attaboy. They need the pat on the back. We talked about that a little bit earlier. And so I challenge them sometimes by saying, okay, put yourself on the other side of the table from you and talk to yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, you can do it. You're good enough. You're smart enough. Mm-hmm. You're tough enough. You're brave enough. You got this. Mm-hmm. And Bill, and I love collecting quotes. I put them out on Twitter every day.
Yep.
And one of my favorites is from Bill Walsh, the famous coach of the 49ers. And he says, all good leaders have some actor in them.
It's a great quote.
So that's where you go from one personality quadrant to the other, and you say, okay. And I talk about wearing a sweater. Like, you know, sometimes you have to, it's hard to fire people.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that's very hard for, you know, CEOs. And it should be, because it's you care about people. But I said, a friend of mine, John Black, said, put a picture of your family on your desk and make every decision in their best interest.
That's right.
So now you're thinking about your family. Can this person put food on my table? Can this person put my kids through college?
Right.
And then what happens is sometimes people are afraid. They put it off. And that's where I come in and Vistage comes in. We hold people mm-hmm. accountable. Hey, you said you were going to move this person on. You're going to fire him by next meeting, and you haven't done it. Mm-hmm. Why? So people need that nudge. They need accountability. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Very rare that people don't need accountability partners.
Yeah. News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brent Winterbull Show, alongside the coach, Matt Doherty, and we bring in our very good friend, Bo Thompson from the Bo Thompson Show. Good to have you here, Bo.
Happy day before the day, guys.
It's a big day. It's a big day. It's a wonderful holiday, and I'm looking forward to the celebration of everything that we hold to be so dear. It's you know, in many ways, it's an analog to the 4th of July. Thanksgiving and the 4th of July are nice bookends for each other.
Analog?
Mm-hmm.
Analog.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you use such word?
Such word?
Everything's digital now, Brett.
You know, it's an incredibly digital...
analog.
It's a digital
break that down for me.
I know.
Please.
Analogous.
There you go.
There we go. So Bo Thompson, I have a question for you.
I'm going to interrupt.
Go ahead, please.
Bo, he wishes he went to Davidson. Go ahead.
Huge respect for Davidson.
I know you do.
Huge respect. I want to set something up here, though. Give me the expert from CBS. This is an important conversation we had earlier, and I want to revisit this with the coach and you, Bo, and get your thoughts on this. So we had this expert psychologist giving advice over there on CBS this morning. And here's how the conversation goes. I'm curious to see how you guys digest this. Go.
It might be a difficult conversation before people step into your house to say, whoa, wait a minute, where's your card, what's your status, yep, before you walk into my home?
This is tough because people are all over the map on this, and they're also all over the map with their risk tolerance. But the rapid tests have made this a lot easier.
Right.
Because whatever people's vaccination status is, we can actually confirm safety on the spot. So if it feels like it's going to be weird, maybe make it kind of fun. Say we're going to start with hors d'oeuvres in the garage. You know, we'll have drinks. We'll do our rapid test and then come on in, right? You can make it playful, make it fun, and then be able to enjoy the holiday because you're not worried about safety.
All right.
That's enough.
She talking going door to door?
She's talking, you go to somebody's house for Thanksgiving, you get in the garage, you have the cocktail and an hors d'oeuvre, and they are COVID testing you before you're permitted into the home.
I heard you talking about this earlier. I was driving around running errands this afternoon, and I heard you talking about this. And so I saw a story earlier this day from Axios.
Yes.
And I did not know, because I came into the conversation about halfway. I didn't know if this was part of the inspiration for it. But along the same lines, there's an Axios story out today that's insinuating that people need to get Thanksgiving bouncers, so that if someone tries to come in your house with COVID, and they are, in other words, they have the, they've tested positive, and you don't want them there. You need to designate somebody who's going to make sure they don't get inside.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you have to have a bouncer, like what kind of family and friends do you hang out with? Well, like you know, okay, listen, guys, I'd love to have you come to my house, but if you're not vaxxed or you have COVID, please don't come. And I hope you don't take offense. We'll send you, you know, we'll send you some goodies over, you know, but just don't come.
This is unbelievable.
I've had a buddy tell me that he's lost friendships over, like, they were going on, you know, bachelor parties. He was divided. I didn't know that was a word.
Divided. Oh my gosh!
It's like you know,
wow.
Like a decommit, like
wow.
In basketball. I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know that was a word, but the divided, uninvited because he hadn't been vaccinated.
Holy cow!
And then he couldn't go to the wedding, and so, you know, if that's a thing, and you listen, I respect your wishes. Just do it in a way, like if you can't trust your friends and family for like, hey, if you haven't been vaxxed, I really would rather you not come over.
But it's worse than that, because you could have been vaxxed, and they're still going to give you a rapid test before they let you in the house.
Really? Now that I would only do that for extremely good turkey. it depends on the level of you know what I want to see. I want a breakdown of the buffet line before I do a PCR
My
test.
Gosh!
But there are those who say you should go without turkey this year, not because
that's right
because you can't afford one, but because you know you should adapt and do something else.
That's right.
Adapt and do something else because
it's you know you may not be able to get turkey.
Yeah. Huh.
So have like an Italian feast. Taco bar. Have Taco Tuesday on a Thursday. I mean, a lot
right.
of stuff.
Or as we were talking about my show, there's suggestions that you should go and eat fish. But apparently there's a fish shortage, too, because too many people...
You eat fish.
Listen, you people that like this, this is your opportunity to prove your worth. This is your perfect opportunity for breakfast for dinner. You love that.
I had breakfast for dinner the other day.
Get the heck away from me. I'm not... You know what? I'm a volunteer.
I love breakfast for dinner. Pancakes, turkey sausage, and two eggs over firm.
Turkey sausage.
Absolutely.
What'd I say?
Turkey sausage.
Turkey sausage.
No, turkey sausage.
Thank you.
I had turkey sausage.
What are you doing?
No,
there's no turkey.
It's healthier for you.
It doesn't matter. So, either get the real thing or go home.
So both.
Whoa. Easy for you to say from the other studio.
I knew we could do this.
I don't mean you personally. I just mean in general.
No. Well, yeah, I'm taking offense to that.
I knew we could have a Thanksgiving fight. This is awesome.
But look, to your point about the D-Vite thing.
Yes.
The D-Vite, did I say it right?
Yeah, the D-Vite.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Just humbly don't come if you are positive. But this whole idea, as you say, that there has to be some sort of bouncer at the door because someone's going to try to get in unless you physically, you know, barricade them.
Yeah. Who's serving the turkey? Is it Bruce Springsteen or Mick Jagger? I mean, who's going to break a line? Like you have a velvet rope out front of the garage?
No.
But I can't believe we're even talking about this stuff.
It's a thing.
These are coming from stories that
you brought it up, Bo. You brought it up.
No. I brought it up originally. The CBS News piece. Because we even stopped that short.
And it made me think about this.
We even stopped that short because it gets into a whole other conversation about whether or not you ought to tell your guests that come for Thanksgiving they have to get out of there Friday. Like, in other words, like don't be sticking around all weekend. You eat, sleep it off, get out. You're out. Sun's up, so are you.
What kind of guests do you have that spend the night, unless it's like they're invited, like to spend the night?
Well, apparently,
well,
if they fail
kind
that
of
test.
That you only want them for one night.
If you fail that test, you're not staying, period. You can sleep in the car.
You could have a little fake, like get the luggage. Don't pack the luggage, but just have the bags and say, what are you guys doing? We're leaving in the morning. And you just go around the block and then make sure that everyone's out.
You could do that.
And say, oh, my flight was canceled.
That's right, we got to go. Yeah, that's it.
Go.
That's right. We got to go. That's right. Bo Thompson, what are you most thankful for, my friend, for this Thanksgiving?
I'm thankful for Matt Doherty and Brett Winterbull.
You are so good.
That is good.
And real sausage.
Amen. Amen. Not that fake stuff.
That's right. Not that turkey junk.
Not that turkey junk.
Well, that's sausage.
Turkey, it's going to be Thanksgiving turkey.
Well, you know what I say. Breakfast for dinner, BFD.
Hey, my favorite dish.
I am legit having breakfast for dinner tonight.
Wow.
What are you going to have?
Probably a little eggs and real sausage and I don't know what else. Maybe something.
I had the pancakes at... What's the store? The country store? Where you go in there and you wait forever?
Oh, Cracker Barrel?
Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel. Oh, yeah. My daughter loves Cracker Barrel. Mm-hmm. So she came home. We went to Cracker Barrel. Went to Chick-fil-A and then Cracker Barrel. Two favorite restaurants. We don't get out much.
Think of, what's the place up in Chapel Hill where everybody goes at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning?
Well, Time Out or used to be Hector's. Hector's
Time
closed
out.
Down.
Time Out. That's the one I'm into.
Yeah.
That's what I need some right now.
Well, Bo, enjoy your Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for our friendship and our conviviality and all that great stuff. And enjoy your breakfast for dinner, and we'll pick it up on Monday.
That's right. Happy Thanksgiving. Go Heels.
Happy Thanksgiving. Go Heels. That's Bo Thompson. That's the coach. I'm Brent Witterbull. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brent Witterbull Show. 704-570-1110. Good to be here. Good to be hanging out. It's... Brett and the coach, Matt Doherty. Brett Jensen's going to be in for Mark Garrison on Charlotte at 6. We're going to put him on in a little bit. Coach, what do you say we grab a call real quick?
Let's do it.
All right, we got Bob checking in with us. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Brett. Long-time listener, first-time caller to your show.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Have a line and a quote for Coach.
Oh, yes.
Skip Carey, the great Braves announcer, once said, "Folks, let me tell you how hot it is in Atlanta today. On the way to the ballpark, I saw a dog chasing a cat, and they were both walking."
I like it. That's a Bob, that's...
My favorite quote from Vince Lombardi, perhaps is not his most popular, but I love this. "Perfection is not attainable, but if we chase perfection, we can catch excellence."
Amen. Amen, Bob. That quote right there has been used several times in my meetings.
Wonderful.
This past week. That is an awesome quote.
Great.
Awesome. Vince Lombardi from Brooklyn, New York.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember. I'm from Elizabeth, New Jersey. I've been down here 46 years.
Oh, no way. Do you know the Hobbies? You know Jerry Hobby?
I do not, but I go back to the Michael Corrin days at Carolina.
Michael Corrin. Elizabeth High School had some great basketball. It was one of the largest high schools probably in the state of New Jersey. I've been there to recruit back when I was at Davidson.
Uh-huh.
But Jerry Hobby played at Fordham and was from Elizabeth.
I don't remember him, but I remember Huckle from Cranford.
Huckle, okay, yeah.
Remember him very well.
Yeah.
Also, P.J. Walker's from Elizabeth.
P.J. Walker, the quarterback for...
Yes.
Oh, no. No way.
Yeah, he and Kyrie Irving and Kid Gilchrist, they were all from Elizabeth.
Yeah, went to St. Pat's. I know.
Very good. You got it. The other thing that I wanted to share is that I think I've figured out what the woke people mean by woke. W-O-K-E.
Yes, sir.
We overkill everything.
Wow, that's good.
Very good, Bob.
That's a great one right
we
there.
We overkill everything.
Yeah. What are you thankful for this Thanksgiving, Bob?
What am I thankful for? Yeah. Honestly, the fact that 46 years now I've been in Charlotte, North Carolina area, wouldn't want to be anyplace else. And, of course, the usual family and health, but I've been moderately successful. I'm living well. I have excellent health. And... Really, I grew up privileged. I didn't play professionally, but my dad was a minor league baseball player and was a professional baseball scout for the Detroit Tigers. Mm-hmm. So I was really privy to a lot of things that a lot of kids wish they were.
Mm-hmm.
It's outstanding.
My dad played the minor leagues as well, Bob.
Oh, really?
Yes.
When was this?
Oh, gosh. 50s?
Well,
50s?
Which organization?
He played with the Senators and the Phillies.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. He if he got a win, he got a $25 bonus and he can call home.
Unbelievable.
Seriously.
Oh, I know. I remember 1925 or 6, my dad was negotiating for $300 a month. He had to settle for $275.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Wow. I mean, back then, those guys, like in Bull Durham, they would stay at host homes on the road.
Right.
You know, they didn't stay in hotels.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It was tough. And then if you read about the old, you know, the black players had to play with, they had to stay with families, and they had to eat in the back of the restaurant with the help. It's unbelievable.
We've, thank God we've come a long way from that, and we certainly want to continue to keep improving as a country. And
absolutely, and I really appreciate WBT. I'm on board with you all politically and ethically, and I just am very grateful that WBT is part of my life.
Bob, you know what? You almost said y'all.
Almost?
You almost said, you said you are all, but it almost rolled into y'all. And if you said y'all, you wouldn't be allowed back in Elizabeth.
Probably not.
Have a wonderful, blessed Thanksgiving, my friend, and call back again.
Y'all do the same.
He don't want to go back to Elizabeth.
He don't want to go back to Elizabeth.
Oh, my gosh. News Talk 1110993. Hey, let me hit you with this one. You know, Brett Jensen's going to be in for Mark Garrison, and I want to get his thought on this when we come back in here. An indoor mask mandate has been reinstated in Santa Cruz, California, after a surge in winter coronavirus cases had led to increased hospitalizations. The county health department is requiring that people wear face coverings in indoor settings, including in private homes.
Oh, my God.
You have to wear a mask.
Oh, my God.
In your house. In your house. Where my children come to play. This is a good walk-up song for Brett Jensen.
This is my song.
This is a great walk-up song. News Talk 1110993 WBT. Brett Jensen's in the house. I'm Brett Witterbull. That's the coach, Matt Doherty, right there. And it is, it's good to be here. We're hitting buttons. We're pushing buttons. Oh, that one is...
Yeah, Matt, I had it. I got it.
Wait, we got it. Hold
you
on.
Got it?
We're doing,
where am I?
Do, that's me over doing, there. Oh, yeah. Do-it-yourself
yeah,
technology.
See, Matt's getting time, screwed up over here.
First time in the studio, huh, Brett?
How you doing?
How
welcome,
you doing?
Brett Jensen. Welcome, Matt Doherty.
I'm good.
I am Brett Witterbull. We got two Bretts and a Matt.
And a Luke.
And a Luke. Mm-hmm. And a Josh and a TJ.
And a Jason.
No, Josh.
I know. I know.
Oh, my gosh.
He does look like a Jason.
He doesn't
right?
look like a Jason.
He really does.
No.
Put a hockey mask
but
on him. He's a Jason.
Oh,
what
my.
Looks like, but he does look like a Josh. A Josh and a Jason. You know, I expect both of those people to have, like, very baby faces and innocent. And he's innocent and got that baby face.
He's got that long.
He's not very innocent.
He's got that long ZZ Top.
You should hear some of the stories on Independence Highway. Go ahead.
Oh, hey. Whoa.
Whoa.
Oh, hey. Wow.
Cash wasn't only. Me. He's over here. Wasn't me.
Hey.
Cash only.
Brett Jensen. I have a question for you. I know we're going to talk about what you're going to talk about here in a second, but
right.
just want to get your opinion on this. There's a person, I'm not going to play it again. We've played it a bunch of times. There's a psychologist who goes on CBS this morning, okay? Mm. And they talk about what it is you need to do to handle these guests that are coming to your house for Thanksgiving. And she recommends that you put them in the garage and you give them hors d'oeuvres and drinks. And then you do the instant test for COVID before you let them into the house. Now, we just talked about Santa Cruz, California, instituting indoor mask mandates, including private homes. It feels like we're going really backwards, man.
So the problem is, and I mean this sincerely.
No, because you've been following this story since the jump.
I truly mean this.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who ever asked me, I mean, I've always been of the belief that if you cover politics as a reporter, you should tell how you vote.
Oh.
I truly believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I truly
mm-hmm.
believe. So the public that you're reporting to understands where, even if you're trying to hide any bias,
right.
But what you're coming from. So all that being said, I've been independent my entire life. Mm-hmm. I have always said I have voted for 4 Democrat presidents and I have voted for 4 Republican presidents.
Right.
That being said, people like that, I don't even have to know their politics to know they're so extreme left mm-hmm. to say something like that
mm-hmm.
or want to have everyone to have a test mm-hmm. before they walk into the house. That is so extremism on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because the left feels like we're about not to be in control anymore. We're getting ready to lose November.
That's big.
In a year.
Mm-hmm.
Everything shows that the data is rolling that way.
Yeah.
Biden's numbers are the lowest in a long, like, I think they're lower than anything that Trump ever had at his lowest point, if I'm not mistaken.
He's a little above it, but it's getting close.
And I think Kamala Harris has the lowest VP ratings in history.
28 and sinking.
Yep. Right. So all that being said, with COVID, yes, they expect a little bit of a rise during the holidays, but nothing like dramatic like last year where everyone was in a little bit of a panic. So they feel it. They know that. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing that I would literally ask that woman. If you want to do this now, so you're saying you're going to do this for the rest of your life?
Right.
Because there are always going to be different strains. Literally, if the entire world got vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
This is still going to exist.
Yes.
So why leave your house? Just do everything virtual. Yeah. If she's so scared, she's probably a vegetarian. So have your vegan Thanksgiving solo.
Mushroom
in
loaf.
Your closet so no one can breathe on you with your humidifier.
Mushroom loaf.
There you go.
I mean, that's it.
That sounds awful.
Mushroom loaf?
I hate mushrooms, so that really sounds vile.
Sounds very bad.
I have to go with Coach on that one. That sounds so awful.
See, you know what this reminds me of?
Pumpkin loaf today at the Community Matters Cafe.
Oh, that
sounds great.
Awesome.
A little bit of butter on there?
No.
Butter sandwich?
No. Not at all.
Fantastic.
Really? No. You weren't there. No. Don't call my food.
I'm improving
Don't
it.
Don't do a breakdown
I'm
of
improving.
My food. No,
I'm
not at all. No.
Carobs, nuts, squash.
Carobs.
I love good stuff.
What are carobs?
They're like artificial chocolate chips. They're made out of tasteless garbage, but they're used a lot in vegan cooking to try to make you think.
I always like when the vegans go, well, it tastes like chicken, really. How would you know?
Why? Hold on.
And if it tastes like chicken, then why don't you just have chicken?
Because I can't.
Because if you're reaching for that flavor.
Yep. See, the woman that wants the people to get the test does not budget in for the false positive. So now you've humiliated your friend from work, and you're making him eat out there in the garage with the bull mastiff, and it's just
those are big dogs.
Watch out for that slobber. And by the way, dogs obviously can get COVID. So now you got to test the dog.
Oh, good luck on a bull. How are you doing, a bull mastiff?
Little Turner and Hooch.
How are you doing?
I'll tell you, you better give that Turner some Hooch to get him mellowed out, because there's no way you're swabbing a bull mastiff. Hey, come here. No, really. Come here, Rosie. Rosie, come here. She's really a very sweet pit bull. Come here. We're going to swab her. Good luck. You got a better chance swabbing a rabid raccoon in the back.
Schwab. Howie Schwab.
Schwab. It reminds me, though. These people remind me of, like, do you remember the 1990s and the early 2000s? The famous character on SNL, the anal retentive chef? Where they would chop up the onions and then wrap the onion waste carefully in various layers of saran wrap before depositing it into a shelf and it would take them like 4 hours to make a sandwich because they have to like perfect every step
and that's it.
Life's a contact sport, Coach.
100%.
I mean, it's a contact. You're going to get scratches and bumps and rashes that are inexplicable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've had that after a few, where I'm like, where did this come from? What was I doing last night?
The Bull Mastiff.
Or who is this next to me?
That's Turner and Hooch.
Yeah.
That's what you got going on. Coach.
We are trying desperately to kill the show before 6 o'clock.
There is no killing of this. The show does not die. We are giving thanks today. No. This is a Thanksgiving show.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot to be thankful for.
Tons.
In this crazy world we're living in.
Without a doubt.
And I think if more people had gratitude for what they have and where they live in the greatest country in the world, they wouldn't be so divisive.
It's a great point. And it's true. And I opened the show by saying, listen, you just saw justice served there in Georgia and the system worked.
Yes.
And we're a good country and we have to remember that.
Yes.
And we have to also remember that tomorrow there will be some really bad football played.
Yes.
In addition. And I just want to say one thing. I'm very thankful for the circa 1990s Dallas Cowboys because they give me hope.
They were good. What was it, 3 in a row?
Close.
3 out of 4.
Yeah, 3 out of 4. That's it. So I just want to say thanks, Coach.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Luke.
You're welcome.
You're all right. Josh, thank you. TJ, thank you. Boomer, Anna. Bo Thompson, each and every one of you. Charlotte at 6 is next with Brett Jensen. He's going to give you some school safety stuff. Stick around. Happy Thanksgiving. God bless us. everyone. Breakfast for dinners, never acceptable. News Talk 1110.
Whoa, I'm literally having that tonight.